Welcome, friends. Welcome to 2008. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. It's good to be with you. And today we're going to be talking about how to get the results that you want to get this year. It's a good time to start thinking about results, isn't it? We've just been through the holidays. It's been very interesting, maybe even entertaining to some. In certain ways, it might have been a fun experience or a learning experience. Whatever it is, whatever it was all last year through 2007, now it's a new year. It's a new time to think about a new recipe for your life in 2008. And in this audio segment here, I'm going to share with you, I call it kind of a top secret process. This is one of my own personal secrets. It's a really fun and very effective process for improving your results for any time period that's ahead, say the next year. So the way to do this is to start thinking about the results that you wish to achieve first. So let's set a time frame here. Let's say one calendar year. Let's talk about the end of 2008 or the beginning of 2009. And think about what kind of results do you wish to achieve in that time frame. Now, I'll ask you to actually grab a pen and paper or get in front of your computer and type these in a word processor. Type in your goals or the results that you wish to achieve. Now, it's important that when you do this, you don't make this a process type of exercise. We're not talking about process here. What I mean by that is don't type in, oh, I want to exercise 3 times a day. That's not a result. That's a process. That's something you're doing to get somewhere. Or, oh, I'm going to watch my diet. That's meaningless. That doesn't say anything concrete. Doesn't say anything specific. What you want to put down is the results that you wish to achieve. How do you wish to feel about yourself a year from now? When you wake up, what emotion do you want to feel? When you look in the mirror, what emotion do you want to feel? How do you want to feel about yourself? What should your self-confidence and self-image be like a year from now? Those are the kinds of things that you can write down. You can also put down concrete weight loss goals, for example. That is, a year from now, the result I wish to achieve is, let's say, body fat percentage of 15 or 12% body fat. I always encourage people to work on body fat percentages, not body weight, because body weight is a really poor measurement of health. There are lots of ways to lose weight. Getting sick or getting cancer causes you to lose all kinds of weight. That's not the goal that we wish to achieve, is it? We want to lose body fat typically. Most of us in Western society have too much body fat. But focusing on weight loss alone can be, I think, misleading. We really want to focus on enhancing health. So the kinds of things that I encourage you to put in your results list are things like, I wish to experience much greater cognitive function, better awareness, better memory, better creativity. I wish to have really healthful, sound sleep, at least 6 nights a week, let's say, if you have trouble sleeping right now. And so many people have sleep disorders that that's a really common result that I hear people talking about wanting to achieve. So that's a good one to write down. You might put results in about your relationships. I wish to really find or pursue or develop a loving relationship with someone who shares my interests. There are many other things. You can talk about your careers, your career path, or family and friends, or things in your personal life. It could be personal health. It could be states of mind, just how you wish to feel. You could talk about ending chronic pain, for example, as one of the results that you wish to achieve. So write those things down. And I say put you know, 10 down. 10's a pretty good number to work with. If you have more or less, it's fine. But somewhere around 10. And make these your primary results that you wish to achieve in the next year. You got that list? If you don't, go ahead and pause this until you get that list. This is really important. And just make the list and then continue. All right, now if you've got that list, here's the trick. Here's how to make this list really work for you. You take the list, find yourself a chair, sit down in the chair, and I want you to role play a little bit. I want you to imagine that you are a life coach and that someone has come to you, a client or a patient has come to you, and they have handed you that list. And they are asking your advice on how they can achieve those results that they've written down on that list. So you got that? This is no longer your list that you wrote. This is someone else's list that they handed to you, and they're asking for your advice on how to achieve that list. And now you are the consultant. You got that? You're the guide. You're the life coach. And you, now using the power of your conscious and subconscious mind and all your creativity and, of course, some honesty, because sometimes these take some hard, honest answers, you are going to tell that imaginary customer how they will achieve those goals. Got it? This is where you get to be really honest, realistic about how to tell that person the process that's going to be required to achieve those results. Now, it's really important to be honest and congruent with the advice that you're giving this person. If they have on top of their list a result that says, I want to have a super fit, athletic, healthy body with 7% body fat and outstanding cardiovascular health, that's a pretty important goal, and it's going to take some doing. Now, you need to be honest with that person about what it's going to take to achieve that goal. So think about that for a second. What would that take? Well, if you look at people who achieve those kinds of results, you realize that it takes about 3 or 4 hours of exercise a day, every single day. And it takes avoiding all kinds of processed foods, never eating breads, for example, never eating refined sugars, never eating saturated fats or cheeses or dairy products or anything like that, typically. And it takes a real dedication to physical exercise and physical training. It's the kind of thing that not a lot of people are willing to commit to. And that's why the number of people who truly look athletic is very small. I mean, it takes real dedication to do that. So right now, all you're going to do is just be honest with that person and tell them what's required to achieve the goal on their list. Now, if they say something that's a little more realistic and more practical for most people, like, oh, my goal is to achieve, let's say, 20% body fat. Maybe that person is way over 20% body fat at the moment. They just want to get down to 20% and not to have a super athletic looking body, but just to be looking like they're not overweight, just to be looking healthy and at least normal healthy weight, below obesity or below the overweight threshold. Now, that's a goal that can be achieved typically with only about 45 minutes or an hour a day of commitment to exercise or physical activity. It will also require some changes in diet, but not as drastic as someone who wants to look super athletic all the time. So that person or that kind of goal can be achieved with a much easier approach, a process that doesn't take nearly as much dedication to exercise and dietary changes. Now, those are just examples. If someone says, oh, they want to have good cognitive function, if that's the result that's on their list, they want to have better memory and better creativity, then think about this. What kinds of things should they do in their life to support that? I mean, if you're the consultant, what would you tell them to do? One of the things that I would say would be start to eat more berries and raw nuts and seeds, eat more fresh produce, and avoid all prescription drugs if you can. Why? Because prescription drugs sap cognitive function. They cause brain fog. And chemotherapy really causes brain fog. They call it chemo brain. Messes up cognitive function for a very long time. But a lot of painkillers, of course, mess with your head. A lot of antidepressants mess with your head in a big way, in a dangerous way, in my opinion. There are all kinds of pharmaceuticals that cause problems with cognitive function. So if someone came to me with a list that said, oh, I want to have great cognitive function this year and a good memory and good creativity and the ability to focus and to learn, then I would say, eat more raw foods and eat more superfoods. More chocolate, more blueberries, more goji berries, all kinds of exotic superfoods and berries from all around the world, and eat less of the junk food, less processed food, less hydrogenated oil, less saturated fat, and eat a lot less red meat and animal products. So these are the kinds of things that have a cause and effect relationship. So just take that list, those top 10 results, and I want you to answer each one of those 10 in an honest way to that person, that imaginary client of yours. And I want you to tell that person what's going to be required for them to achieve those 10 things. What changes, in other words, will they need to make in their day-to-day habits in order to achieve the results that they've written down? And I want you to do this without judgment. I don't want you to interject anything at this point that says, oh, I don't know if I could really commit to that. Remember, right now we're just talking about that other person. We're not talking about you doing this. We have one more step yet in this whole process, so don't worry about it. I just want you to be honest and be upfront with what is required in order to achieve those results. So go ahead and do that process and then continue with this audio program. All right, now continuing. So far, let's review very quickly. You've made a list of the results that you wish to achieve over the next year. And then you've done a little bit of role reversal and you've become the consultant. And imagine that a client came to you with that list, that they wanted to achieve those things. And then with you, as the consultant, you gave them advice on how they can achieve those things. Now, at this point, it's time to switch seats yet again and become the client. And now you are going to take that information that the consultant just gave you, which again is you from the last part of the process, you're going to take that information and then you are going to decide what you're willing to do. What are you actually willing to do in order to achieve the goals that you've written down there or the results that you've written down there? So let's give an example here. Let's say that you currently enjoy a grande latte from Starbucks with extra sugar and artificial cream on a daily basis. That this is your morning coffee. It's actually more like a milkshake, by the way. If you enjoy that every day and you're eating Krispy Kreme donuts or processed foods for lunchtime, and yet you've written down your goal is to achieve, let's say, 15% body fat and to no longer be considered overweight by your friends, then the consultant might have said, well, okay, in order to achieve that goal, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to give up the grande lattes in the morning, or at least just drink coffee without any cream and sugar in it. You're probably going to have to change your lunch from a fast food lunch to a lunch that you bring from home made out of fresh produce, maybe a sprout sandwich made on whole grain pita bread without any processed meat in it, just made with vegetables and avocados. But these are just examples. Whatever it is, you've got to decide now how much of that you're willing to do. If part of the advice from the consultant was to exercise 5 hours a week, and you look at that number and you go, whoa, I can't exercise 5 hours a week. Not even close to it. I might exercise 5 minutes a week. Then you probably need to take that information and decide what you're willing to do. Maybe you're willing to do 10 minutes a week, which is, of course, double what you've been doing, and that's great. Maybe you can commit to doing 10 minutes a day. Gee, that would be over an hour a week, and that would be a huge increase in effects and results. You would get a lot closer to your results that way than if you were only exercising 10 minutes a week, for example. So whatever it is that you're willing to do, I want you to write that down beside this list so that you're writing down exactly what steps that you are willing to take. And you've got to be realistic about this. You've got to be realistic in terms of fitting it into your lifestyle. And I'm a big believer in making small incremental steps towards a more positive outcome. I don't believe in making wholesale changes. It doesn't work. I've never seen it work. And I certainly didn't do that myself. When I started giving up things in my diet, I did it one thing at a time. I gave up sodas, and then I gave up processed sugars, and then white bread, and then hydrogenated oils, and then red meat, and then cheese, and dairy products, and so on. But this took a long time. For me, this took actually several years to go through that whole process. And when you do it that way, you don't miss all those things so much. And after enough time, you don't miss them at all. So when you're looking at this list, it's not important that you master everything 100% from day one. That's unrealistic. What's important is that you improve a little bit in each of the 10 areas. You got that? All you have to do to make your life better in 2008 than it was in 2007 is get yourself one step higher in terms of getting the results that you want in each of these 10 areas. Just a small improvement in your diet, just adding one superfood drink to your diet every day can make a huge difference. Just adding 10 minutes of exercise a day can make a huge difference. Just reading 10 pages of a book can make a huge difference. Just committing to visiting one country outside the country where you live so that you can observe other cultures and observe the way the world works from a different perspective, that can make a huge difference in your life. Just doing that one time in a year can make a huge difference. Just committing to studying a foreign language for, let's say, an hour a week can make a big difference. Or committing to going out and socializing if you're trying to meet someone, that can also make a huge difference. Or committing to learning new skills or educating yourself using honest, independent information like you find on the internet instead of getting your information through mainstream media news sources. So these are all great examples of little things that you can do to improve your life and improve the results that you'll get in 2008. I think it's the little things that count the most because it's those little things that you can stick to. Those are the things that can really become a part of your life. Those are the ones that are easy to integrate into your day-to-day living. And that's the magic. I remember Tony Robbins used to have a phrase for it, KANI, constant and never-ending improvement. And I completely agree with that. It's about just getting to that next level and getting comfortable with it so that that becomes part of your pattern, part of your routine, who you are. And from there, you can look forward to the next step forward and go ahead and pursue that. And you can do that in diet, in exercise, in learning and self-improvement. You can do it in relationships, in your career. You can do it in so many different areas. That is the secret. And of course, the results that you wrote down in the first place, those first 10 results that you wish to achieve this year, that provides the map so that you know where you're going. That's the navigation. So you know you're taking those steps in the right direction. You see, I think in this age of abundant information, it's no longer really about just being intellectually aware of what works. There's a lot of information out there about what works. People know that better nutrition helps prevent disease and enhances your longevity and your performance. They know that exercise works to keep you healthy and boost cardiovascular health and lose weight and so on. You know, they know that studying helps you learn more information. They know that traveling helps you gain a more global perspective. We intellectually know these things. This is common knowledge now. The real secret from this point forward is converting that knowledge into action. How do you translate it into something that a person can actually adopt and have success with in their life? This is, I think, the secret to doing that. These small incremental steps, making these improvements one small bite at a time. And you'll notice that a lot of these things, well, actually, almost all of them fall into two categories. They are either things that you're going to avoid doing and things that you're going to begin doing. So the things to avoid would be like dietary things. For example, to give up soft drinks, give up diet soda and sweetened soda. That would be something to avoid. And something you're going to bring in is to start drinking a superfood smoothie every day, or to start eating superfoods, or to start bringing in exercise or certain nutritional supplements that are good for you. But you'll find that virtually everything you want to accomplish can be accomplished by either avoiding something or pursuing something that is catalyzing an action that you want to bring in to your life and then avoiding those actions that you don't want to bring in. And of course, that brings up the whole issue of addiction. And addiction is so powerful. It is, for many of us, it is the primary mover of our behavior. It is the thing that actually is behind almost everything that we do. I mean, We are addicted to foods. We are addicted to emotional states. We are addicted to consumption. Many people are even addicted to gossip. There's actually a little hit that you get in your brain, kind of like a drug release, when you're engaged in gossip and you hear some new juicy gossip. There's a reward in your head, and we can actually get addicted to that. I mean, some people say I'm addicted to the internet because every time I read some piece of news that's really interesting, I get a little hit in my head too. It's like, wow, I didn't know that. That's really interesting. It's a little reward that I experience, and that's my own little addiction. I'm addicted to information. I'm addicted to learning. So I don't use the word addiction in a negative connotation all the time. I think we can have productive addictions and we can have destructive addictions. So being free of all addictions, I think, is impossible. Being a human being means you're going to be addicted to something. Some kind of reward is going to be experienced through some behavior that you like to repeat. The question is, which kinds of addictions do you allow to dominate your own behavior? Do you allow destructive addictions to dominate? If so, that's going to be a downward spiral, right? Alcohol or gambling or consumerism, mass spending, all kinds of crazy addictions that we can get caught in and spiral down out of control. Or do you allow these constructive addictions to come into your life? Are you addicted to a joyful state? Are you addicted to learning? Are you addicted to self-improvement? You might even be addicted to exercise, and most people would consider that to be a pretty good thing. I might qualify. In fact, I enjoy exercise so much that when I don't do it, I miss it. And some people might say, hey, that's an addiction. Fine. That's great. I'll take that. I'm addicted to exercise and I'm addicted to learning and I'm addicted to my superfood smoothies. That's great. Those are my addictions, and that's what makes the foundation of my day-to-day life. Those addictions will produce very different results than being addicted to heroin or meth or whatever street drugs there are, or even addicted to pharmaceuticals. You know, Ritalin or Prozac or any of these pharmaceutical drugs that are psychotropic in nature, these can be very, very addictive as well. And I think those are destructive addictions. But the point in this whole discussion is in realizing that it's about shaping our behavior. And I use the word shaping quite deliberately here. And I want you to think about the way... Well, have you ever been to Disney World where they grow those crazy bushes shaped like animals? You can see them out on the grounds outside the Disney World area. You ever wonder, well, how do they make the bushes look like animals? And the answer is, of course, that they grow those bushes in the shape of an animal, and then they trim them accordingly. But you can't just take a bush of any shape and just trim it to look like an animal. You actually have to train that bush to grow in the shape of the animal. You are, in fact, shaping that bush over time. So you're taking the stems and you're saying, okay, this one should grow out this way to be a neck or a torso, and this one should grow out this way to be a tail, and so on. And you're shaping that bush, and then that bush grows into the shape of an animal because you've given it that direction. Notice the bush didn't become an animal overnight. It wasn't a round bush one day and the next day it's a zebra. Doesn't happen like that. I think people who try to make those changes in their own lives overnight are trying to turn a bush into a zebra. And it doesn't work that way. I've never seen it work. I mean, I don't know about your experience, but in my experience, I've never seen anyone have success with sticking with any kind of changes that happen overnight. Sometimes people can pull it off for a couple of weeks. You see this especially in people who are drug addicts. They can shape up for a temporary period, but then before long, they go right back to those chemical addictions because it didn't last. They made a wholesale change and it didn't last. You also see this with diets. Overnight, some people try to give up everything that's bad for them, give up all the sugar and all the processed foods and animal foods and junk foods, everything overnight. Next day, they feel great for like 2 or 3 days. They might even join a gym. People do this right after the new year. They join a gym for 2 weeks. They're in there exercising and feeling great. They've given up all the junk food. They feel great. And what happens the first time they hit a bump in that road? The first time that something unexpected comes along, they go right back into that downward spiral, that familiar pattern of self-destruction. Back to the junk foods. Back to the chemical addictions, back to sitting on the couch watching TV, because that's the familiar reward system. That's the familiar addiction. So I'm saying Don't try to do it that way. Don't try to turn a bush into a zebra in your own life. Instead, if you're a bush today, you're going to be a bush tomorrow that looks a little bit closer to a zebra, right? And the next day, a little bit more. And with each passing day and week and month, you're going to become the person that you have set out to become. You're going to achieve those results little by little. And you're not concerned on day one with looking like the zebra. You're only concerned with that incremental step forward. That's the psychology that's necessary for success in this. Because in our society today, we have been trained to think that we get results overnight. We've been taught to go for the instant results. It's the 48-hour Hollywood diet, right? Or it's feel better instantly by taking this drug. Or it's, oh, go get the cosmetic surgery, and when you wake up, you'll look better. How's that for a gimmick, right? Just go to sleep, and when you wake up, everything's done. You look better. Well, what we find is people who pursue those kinds of quick results never really get them. It's like that the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You're chasing it, and you're chasing it, and just when you think you have it, it disappears. For example, if you undergo liposuction, you wake up and yeah, oh, that body fat's missing from around your waist. But if you keep eating like you used to eat, your body's going to store the body fat somewhere else. Guess what happens? It deposits all the body fat on your knees or under your arms or around your neck. All of a sudden, you've got body fat in weird places instead of just looking a little overweight before. You see, the problem was not the body fat. The problem was your weight gain diet. And your body was just putting it where it wanted to. You can take the fat away from that area, but your body's going to put it somewhere else. That's the price that we pay when we try to get those instant overnight results. And I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I'm not saying you're bad if you had liposuction. No, that can be a learning experience. I'm just saying that the results you're going to get cannot be purchased. And they cannot be brought to you with a scalpel, okay? Getting the results that you want to achieve is going to take changing from the inside out. Notice that in this list, if the consultant part of you answered these questions correctly or gave the right advice to the person who created the list, then that advice should concern all kinds of things that you do from the inside. None of those results are going to be achieved from things external to yourself. In other words, if one of your goals was to look really fit and athletic, the answer, or at least the correct answer, should not have been, take a bunch of weight loss pills and drink the 48-hour Hollywood diet and go get liposuction and get some Botox and boom, you're done. That's not the right answer. That is the wrong answer. That's the answer that's going to make you look like a mutant in 2008. And it's not going to be very healthy for your internal organs either. The correct answer is, okay, we want to achieve this goal. Here's what it's going to take from the inside out. It's going to take a certain amount of physical exercise a day, a certain amount of commitment to a dietary pattern. It's going to take giving up certain foods, certain things in our diet that are actually promoting obesity and taking away from that fitness look. This is just the honest, straightforward answer. No judgment in it. This is just what it's going to take, period. It's cause and effect. A causes B. And if you want B, you got to do A. Now, you can decide, as we did in step 3 of all this, you can decide how much you want to commit to. And that's going to determine what percentage of those results you get. And that's all fine. Not everyone has to look like a super athlete. You know, it's really impractical. Actually, it takes a lot of time. It takes tons of time out of your day to do that. I know, because I pursue a lot of physical exercise. And a lot of people say, I look really athletic. That takes about 3 hours a day. And you might have a family, you might have children, and you put children first. And that's great. I totally support that. And you're making that decision that my family is more important than me looking like an athlete. And I agree with you. If you have kids, I think that teaching your kids how to be great children and how to be intelligent people, that is more important. You got to put that investment in your children. But if you're saying, oh, well, I think that watching must-see TV for 3 hours a night is more important than my own personal fitness, then you know, I wouldn't agree with that choice, but it's a free country and you're still free to do that. But don't kid yourself into thinking that, you know, like that's the best choice for 2008. Hopefully you can find a somewhere in the middle where, okay, maybe you do an hour of exercise and then you do an hour of TV. You know, kind of find a compromise that you can live with. And that's how you do that incremental improvement. So getting back to that point, that's the key here, is these small incremental improvements that will get you to the results that you want to achieve in 2008. Now, when I present this material to people, sometimes they ask me, how do you know when you've achieved that result and when you're ready to add on the next step? How do you know that? Well, the answer is, you know you've already achieved that one level, that next level, when it becomes comfortable and normal and routine. In other words, when I wake up in the morning right now, I'm not thinking about bacon and French toast and pancakes and what, Lucky Charms and the things that I used to eat. I'm thinking about my fresh juice that I made the night before. I open up the fridge and reach for that. Boom, that's what I'm craving in the morning. The way that I know I've achieved that level is because that's what is my pattern, and that's what I'm actually craving that day. Now, if I were to wake up and still crave the pancakes and crave the waffles or French toast or bacon or whatever, and I'm forcing myself to drink fresh produce juice instead, then I know I haven't achieved that level yet. There's still resistance there. So the way you know you've achieved that level is when the resistance is gone and it's just part of who you are. And you can actually describe that to people by saying, oh, I'm the kind of person who drinks vegetable juice in the morning. I'm the kind of person who makes my own fresh juice the night before, and I put it into glass jars and I put those in the refrigerator. And when I wake up, the first thing I do is reach for that fresh juice and chug it down. And that's my breakfast. And that's who I am. And I enjoy it. And it gives me the results that I want. That's how you know you've achieved that level. When you find yourself going to the gym 3-4 times a week, and you're really enjoying your workout, and you start defining yourself as a person who works out, that's when you know you've achieved that level. And that's when you can add on the next step to that. You might add then some Pilates or some yoga or strength training or stretching or some kind of cardio workout or a step class or a spinning class, something else. That's how you know when you're there, when it becomes part of who you are. You see, people identify themselves with disease often. They think to themselves, oh, I am fat, or I am diabetic, or I am a person with cancer. And that's a very dangerous language to use because it implies that you are defined by your disease. It's important to switch that off and switch into a mode where you are defined by your healthful actions. To say, oh, I am a vegan, for example, is a term a lot of people use. Or I am a person who eats a plant-based diet. Or I am a person who doesn't eat red meat. Or I am a person who exercises regularly. I am a person who goes to the gym. Or I am a person who spends time in nature because I enjoy nature and I enjoy the sunshine and I enjoy fresh air. And that's who I am. When you can make those kinds of statements, you know you've made it. You've achieved that level because you now associate those things with the definition of who you are. And by the way, when you're able to get to that level, if you're not already there, and I know many of you are, but when you're able to get to that level, then you'll no longer identify yourself with the diseases. You'll no longer say, oh, I'm bipolar. I love to hear that one from people. I'm bipolar. I was like, gee, that's funny. I thought you were human. You know, I thought you were a human being. But they identify themselves. I'm diabetic. No, you're not. No, you're a human being with some blood sugar imbalances that can be corrected through diet and exercise. You are not diabetic. But when people talk like they are, that's when they've been caught by the system. That's when they've lost their own power and they've lost the ability to change. You see how disempowering that language is? When you begin to describe yourself as being that, using the am verb, I am this, then it means you have no options to be anything different. If you say I am bipolar, that means you're locked into being bipolar essentially forever. It's implied in the statement. That's why everyone who says I am bipolar is actually making a misstatement. There is no such thing as being bipolar. It's just a label. It's just a name. It doesn't mean the symptoms don't exist as an experience for that person, but it does mean that that doesn't define any person. And people who believe in those definitions and use them in their own disempowering language, those are the people who are trapped by conventional medicine and who have essentially self-eliminated their own options for change. So get out of that spiral by starting to associate your beingness with those things that are what we call the positive addictions. I am a person who exercises. I am a creature of nature and I enjoy spending time in nature. I am healthy. I am creative. I am intelligent. I am vibrant. I am a person who gets great sleep, who has great sex, who has great energy, a great motivation. I am this person. That is so empowering to be able to identify yourself in those terms and to be able to make those statements. And once you get to that point, the whole disease model of conventional medicine, treating symptoms with drugs, that whole model just seems ridiculous. And you'll find yourself just looking at the world in a completely different way. People will come up to you and they'll say, I'm diabetic. And in your mind, you're thinking, no, you're not. You're not diabetic. You just have a lousy diet and no exercise. And if you change those things, you would no longer express the symptoms that are called diabetes due to the labeling put on people by conventional doctors who are obsessed with naming everything. You are not diabetic. I used to be, quote, pre-diabetic. That was a label they put on me. Now I have no association with that disease whatsoever. What? No association with it. Medicine can't put labels on me or other healthy people. Can't put labels on them. When you're healthy, you're actually immune to the labeling. You see, you no longer will allow yourself to get trapped by those labels. Now, let me shift gears here for a second. I'm going to wrap this up in the next 15 or 20 minutes. But the overriding principle that I want to share with you now, after this whole process and discussion, is that achieving lasting change in your life, I think, requires a commitment to something that's the foundation of personal change. And I want to mention what that is here. I think that you cannot expand the definition of who you are, and that you cannot successfully improve your life and yourself and your cognitive function and your creativity. Even your spiritual awareness, I think, cannot really be improved unless you get off the junk foods and off the pharmaceuticals and onto medicine from nature and food from nature. This is, I think, fundamental to making positive change. I don't think I've ever seen anyone make positive personal changes if they didn't simultaneously change their diet. And at the same time, I've seen people make even minor changes in their diet that unleashed huge personal changes for the better. See that all the time. But I think it's impossible to have a better mood, for example, if you're still eating junk foods. If you're emotionally disturbed, or if you consider yourself bipolar or depressed, there's another interesting label for you. I think that getting off of that, escaping that label, requires changing what you eat. Because think about it. Aren't all these experiences and these moods and these actions and observations, aren't they processed by your human brain? And isn't that brain floating inside your skull? It's actually a physical organ. And doesn't that brain run on energy that's pumped to it by your blood? And isn't it impacted by what's in your blood? And isn't your blood made up of the things that you eat? Because digestion turns your food into the things, the nutrients and the resources that your blood circulates around your body and pumps into your brain. So doesn't it make sense that what you eat directly impacts your brain, which of course directly impacts your entire experience of living? Everything that you process, your observations, your emotions, your memories, your hopes, your dreams, your creativity, your connection with a higher power, all of these things actually are processed through your brain, aren't they? Now, you might say, okay, well, other things are processed through your heart or other energy centers in your body. And that's true, too. I know even the gut is a second brain. But I'm talking about the main processor in your body, and that is the brain. When we feel moods, when we experience feelings, those are primarily processed in the brain. So, of course, the things you eat are going to affect the moods you experience. Of course, the things you eat are going to impact your observations on life or your overall mood or your ability to conceptually make sense of the world, your ability to be creative, your ability to just have a good memory, your ability to have compassion for fellow human beings or engage in a healthy relationship. I can't tell you how many couples I've seen break up, not because they weren't compatible, but because they were eating junk foods and they were just crabby, irritable, mood swingy people because they were living on really atrocious diets. And those diets were impacting their brain function, and that brain function was making it impossible for them to have a successful relationship. A lot of people whose relationships fail really only fail because of their diets. It sounds simple, but it's absolutely true. And a lot of people who are in prison, they're in prison because they engage in unlawful activities that were, let's say, partly created by the foods that they eat. For example, blood sugar variations, blood sugar swings, or hypoglycemia results in irritability or violent behavior, especially in males. And we see that the prison population is hypoglycemic at very high rates, and they are nutrient deficient in very high rates, much higher than the rest of the population. So nutrition has everything to do with your behavior and your perception of life. And I believe, this is the underlying message here, I believe that if you want positive personal change in 2008, it all starts with changing what you eat. And there is no better food for you, for your human body, than what Mother Nature has provided. So let me throw this out there. If you're looking to make the most powerful personal changes possible in 2008, let me suggest that you might add this to the top of your list. That is to move closer to a plant-based diet. If you're already close to one, try going 100% plant-based diet. If you're nowhere near it, if you're eating meat and milk all day long, then try moving just a little bit closer to a plant-based diet. Start having a salad with every meal or a superfood smoothie. Check out my superfood smoothie recipes on newstarget.com. You'll find some great ones there. Just search for it. I've got an avocado chocolate smoothie recipe with almond milk that's just absolutely delicious. Oh, you'll think you're drinking an ice cream shake, but it has no guilt in it. Completely guilt-free, completely sugar-free, but boy, is it delicious. I think that changing what you eat is step one to everything else when it comes to personal development or self-help or self-improvement. If you want to have a happier life, better sleep and better sex and less pain and better cognitive function and a better job and better relationships, and you want to look better physically and be more fit and more active and have improved cardiovascular performance and so on, all of these things are enabled by shifting to a plant-based diet. Everything that we've talked about here can be amplified on a plant-based diet, all the positive results that you want. In fact, I challenge you, look at your list right now, the list that you made earlier. Look at those 10 things. I bet you that a lot of those things can be improved by switching to a plant-based diet. And you may have, in fact, already suggested that as the consultant. You may have already said, eat more plants or herbs or certain nutrients or berries, or give up red meat, give up animal products, and so on. But shifting to a plant-based diet, I guarantee you, is one of the things that you can do in 2008 to get the results that you really want to achieve. I know I'm making it a foundation of my own personal self-improvement plan for 2008. My own recipe starts with a plant-based diet. That's what I'm reaching for first thing in the morning. That's what I'm drinking all during the day. That's what I'm drinking in the evening. I'm having lots of high-density superfoods and smoothies and just juices, like juice feasting that I've talked about before. I do juice feasting now every single day. And my life just is not complete without my fresh juice. And what's in it? Berries, fruits like Asian pears or just regular pears are fine too. I put kale in it. I put spinach, salad greens, all kinds of broccoli sprouts, clover sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, some pineapple. I put blueberries in there. Sometimes I even put sesame seeds in it. I put a little bit of stevia in it, sometimes almonds. You know, whatever I want to drink that day, fruits and vegetables and nuts, sometimes seeds. That's what I'm drinking every single day. Now, what's fun about that is when you start looking at all the research in nutrition, every week it seems like something comes out, another big announcement. Oh, guess what? This fruit prevents cancer, or this vegetable protects the eyes from a degenerative disease, for example. Or this other vegetable over here enhances fertility. Or this one stabilizes blood sugar levels or stabilizes moods. Or this one prevents skin cancer. I mean, every time you look at plants and research, the news just keeps getting better. It's just time and time again, the scientists are finding what works, and it's all coming back to the medicines that are naturally found in foods and superfoods. Chocolate is great for your liver and great for your brain. It's even good for fertility. I just keep finding these things. All these exotic berries. There are chokeberries. There are acai berries. There are berries coming out of Australia that we have yet to really see in the marketplace that are just going to blow you away when you learn about how good they are for your health. So think about diet as a foundation for your own personal improvement in 2008. And I think you'll be really pleasantly surprised with how powerful that will be. In fact, I'll give you a preview right now. I'm going to be working on an audio course soon called Why Self-Help Doesn't Work and How to Use Nutrition to Get the Results You Really Want to Achieve. And I've really covered the basics of that program right here. A lot of people are spending all kinds of time and money and effort on so-called self-help programs, or they're going to see psychiatrists or psychologists or marriage counselors, or they're using all kinds of self-help books, CDs, and audio programs or motivation seminars to try to get the results they want. And you know what the common problem is with all those people doing all those different things and why it doesn't really work most of the time? Because they all go back home and they eat crap. They eat the same garbage junk foods that cause these problems in the first place. The reason their relationship isn't working is because they have really poor moods. Because why? Because they have a really bad diet and the food affects the brain. There's a book by Jack Chalom. It's called The Food Mood Solution. You should check that out. It talks about the relationships between foods and moods and how you can alter your moods by changing what you eat. And also how you can explain negative moods and irritability or mood swings by just looking at a person's diet. So it's a very powerful link that you should look at. And I'm going to be covering that in that course. Again, it's going to be called Why Self-Help Doesn't Work. You ever noticed that? I mean, have you ever experienced any of those things yourself? Like you went to a counselor and you spent all this time and money and you just feel like you're just talking and wasting time. I mean, I've done that. I've gone to various counselors and life coaches and self-improvement seminars. I've done all that stuff and nothing worked as well as just changing my diet. Why is that? Because no matter what you hear at a seminar, no matter what a counselor has you work out in your head, if you go home and eat crap, you're still poisoning your brain. That's why. But if you go home and you eat nature's medicine and you eat superfoods, then everything's better. Everything's better. It's like suddenly the bad mood is just lifted across the whole universe. Suddenly everything works better. Your brain works better. You have more awareness. You have better memory. Your creativity is working better. Your moods are better. On and on and on. You have more physical stamina and strength. You actually make better decisions. This is something we see in Chinese medicine a lot. When people start taking reishi mushrooms, and they take these adaptogenic medicinal mushrooms, not just reishi, but many others. A good company to check that out with is dragonherbs.com. And when they keep taking these mushrooms, they actually get wiser. Their ability to make good decisions greatly improves. And have you ever noticed that people who eat a lot of junk foods make bad decisions in their lives? Those are the kinds of people who get into a lot of car accidents. They get arrested for things. They go out and get drunk and they make bad decisions. They also don't know how to deal with money very well either, because they're eating a lot of junk foods. And that creates a negative layer across everything in their life. And so foods can either make everything better in your life, relationships, career, success, happiness, and so on, or they can make everything worse depending on which foods you choose. And I'm willing to bet, like I said earlier, that list you made, those top 10 or so results that you wish to achieve, if you were to just actually eliminate all 10 and replace it with eat a plant-based diet, I'm willing to bet that most of those 10 would materialize on their own anyway. Whether it has to do with being healthier or having better relationships or better spiritual connection or better career or more personal success, happiness, ending chronic pain, you name it. All of those things can be achieved by switching to a plant-based diet. So really, if you want to be upfront about it, you can just condense pretty much everyone's list to one thing. One thing, eat a plant-based diet. And there you go. That is the secret for 2008. Eat a plant-based diet and everything else that you wish to achieve and experience in your life this year will very likely materialize as a result. Why? Because it changes everything that you experience. Everything. It's almost as if they came in and replaced the entire world around you, the entire universe. They just copied and pasted it right in. A whole new layer was brought in. When you're on a plant-based diet, everything else looks different. And your experience of living is greatly enhanced. So you see how that can be the single most powerful, most common thread to everything else that you wish to achieve in 2008. So I'm going to leave you with that idea, just to ponder that for a moment. And by the way, I'm not a food Nazi. I never pushed the stuff onto people. I'm just offering these as suggestions for you to explore. You might find in your experience that, hey, not everything that I said makes sense to you, but some of it does, and that's helpful. That's great. I love to hear that. Or you may say, wow, that makes perfect sense. I don't need to worry about all these other goals. All I need to do is really focus on how to shift to a plant-based diet. And Mike is right. This stuff is going to materialize for me because my whole world is shifted. When my brain works better and my heart works better and all my body's organs work better, then I work better physically, chemically, emotionally, and spiritually. And everything shifts in my life. And I know that a plant-based diet is what can get me there. And I hope that's what you're thinking. And if not, that's okay too. But at some point, I think if you pursue this and play around with it, you'll come to the same conclusion. Yeah, of course, it means you have to give up that frozen pepperoni pizza. Because, yeah, doesn't quite qualify as a plant-based diet. Those little dices of frozen green pepper on top of the slimy, over-greasified pepperoni slices doesn't count. That's not a plant-based diet. So I wish you a very happy year. Whatever it is that your experience comes to, whatever you choose to do in terms of improving yourself, improving your experience, whether it's a little bit or a lot, whether you choose to eat 100% plant-based diet or just 10%, it's all up to you. And I honor that. And I wish you the best year ever in 2008. And I want to thank you too for listening. I want to thank you for being a reader or being a listener throughout 2007. And I want to honor your investment and your commitment in yourself to be willing to take the time to listen to this and get out of it the things that you think are valuable to you. And I really am humbled by the fact that you're a person who's willing to do that. And you're the reason I do this. If you weren't listening to this, I wouldn't be doing this. This is information that I like to share with those who are really interested in making positive personal changes. So the fact that you're taking out of this what you can get from it and applying those bits and pieces to your life, that's what makes this rewarding for me. So thank you for doing that. You give me purpose in doing this, and you give me reason to keep doing this throughout 2008 and beyond. So we'll both have a great year in 2008. And I hope to hear from you in person someday about the positive changes that you've been able to make. I'll keep pursuing my own positive changes and more of a plant-based diet as well. We're all doing this together. We're all graduating one year to the next with these incremental improvements and seeing just how great our human experience can be. And I think that 2008, even with all the crap that's going on with the world, all the crazy stuff with politics and finances and the housing bubble and, you know, agricultural practices that are destroying the planet, even with all that, we can still have a better year this year, and we can be part of making a positive change that will be a lasting change on this planet from 2008 and beyond. The way to do that, of course, is, I believe, pursue a plant-based diet. Be peaceful, be compassionate. Think about all other living systems and honor those living systems. And also honor yourself. And never believe that you are a disease label. Don't believe the lies of conventional medicine. Instead, believe that you can be a healthier, happier, more empowered, more educated human being, and that the way you're going to get there is to be closer to who you really are, and that's a creature of nature. Get back to the earth by taking in those medicines and nutrients from Mother Nature, and you will expand your experience of life throughout this entire year. I'll leave you with that thought. Thanks again. And have a great 2008. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for NewsTarget.com. I do want to mention that you can get the Hi-Fi edition of this audio podcast on CD, along with other Health Ranger Report audio podcasts, at TruthPublishing.com. That's just www.TruthPublishing.com. And you can get the Hi-Fi versions of these audio podcasts in a set. So check them out there. This is actually number 16, what you're listening to right now. So there are 15 other Health Ranger reports that you can get on audio CD if you so desire. So thanks for your support, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.